So the opposite of self-love is self-loathing. And that's something Annalee Rufus is all too familiar with. A journalist and writer, she struggled with low self-esteem her whole life. And she recently summed up what she's learned about it in a book called Unworthy: How to Stop Hating Yourself.
A day in the life of someone with low self-esteem. When I say voices in your head, I don't mean necessarily like schizophrenic voices in your head. I mean, it's your own voice mostly, and it's the voice of whoever it was that pretty much gave you your low self-esteem, because someone or someones did back then somewhere. And those voices are saying, you can't do that. Oh, did you just do that? Oh, you were such a fool. Wait, wait. They're constantly making you wait so that every step you take is hesitant. Every gesture you make is hesitant. You apologize a lot because the voices in your head are telling you, you just screwed up again. What are those people thinking of you? And it's all about, even if, like myself, you're a complete introvert, a loner who doesn't really honestly care about other people's opinions, at some level, low self-esteem makes you care. And that does drive you pretty crazy.
Now, your premise is that you are very far from unique and that we're living in the midst of an epidemic of self-hatred. What makes you think that?
I see it everywhere. I see it in the people that chronically apologize. I see habits that I know I've had and that I know my mother, who hated herself for the 84 years of her life, also had. And I see these habits as being so prominent, so predominant, that I think, you know, this is something we have in common.
Habits like what?
Like faking it, like always aiming to please, like not being able to choose. That is a huge dead giveaway. For anything from choosing an ice cream flavor or a menu item to something big like the name of your baby or what you're going to do for a career, there is this hesitance. Whatever I choose is going to be wrong and I'm going to regret it, or someone else is going to regret it and be mad at me. And that is a huge problem people with low self-esteem have. And we don't even necessarily realize what is causing these habits. Perfectionism. Why are we so competitive? Why are we comparing ourselves to others? Because we're diligent? Because we want to be good? Yes. But behind that is often we're sure that we're not good and we're sure that we're worse than others, so we have to try extra hard and overcompensate for the flaws that we perceive.
You must have, as a child, thought however you were was perfectly normal. Was there a point when you kind of woke up and thought and recognize that you have low self-esteem, or even began to name what you're describing as self-hatred?
In the book, I call that the time before, that all of us have a time before. We're not born with low self-esteem, because developmental psychologists say that we can't be, that babies are born bent completely on survival. They don't have a sense of self at all as such, for good or bad. They just must eat, live, and be warm. And only at age 3 do humans begin to recognize themselves as themselves in mirrors and kind of think about what they did before and what they're doing now and how they're different from others. And that, at that age, they say, is when low self-esteem can begin. Do I remember before age 3? I kind of do. I kind of do remember a peace and serenity. But that is very, very, very tiny compared to what I do remember.
And do you remember becoming aware of or naming to yourself that you had low self-esteem, or that you disliked, hated yourself?
The sad, tragic, interesting thing about low self-esteem is that most people who really struggle with it don't realize that that is their problem. They would not necessarily tell you, "And I have low self-esteem." They would say, "I'm a screw up. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm horrible. I mess up everything. I'm stupid." They would say that, and then you'd say you have low self-esteem, and they'd say, yeah, because I deserve to, but they don't think that is their core problem, and I think it is their core problem. You know, as for me, I did not grow up thinking, per se, I have low self-esteem. I grew up thinking, I am so lame. I fall when I try to run. Everyone makes fun of me. Everyone thinks I'm weird. I can't do math. I can't do this. I can't do that. And mom and dad are always yelling at me, so I must be a terrible person.
I identify a lot with your description of internal negative monologue. I know what it's like to go through life feeling like you're never quite good enough. Is there something about American culture, do you think, that encourages self-criticism?
Well, there's been something in American culture since the mid-1980s that encourages quite the opposite. In 1985, a movement arose in California, starting with Assemblymember John Vasconcellos, who personally began feeling, through his own work in therapy, that low self-esteem was the cause for dropouts, teenage pregnancy, drug abuse, and all kinds of social problems. And he got the government to start using self-esteem raising strategies in schools, in curricula. And so there has been a huge emphasis on high self-esteem since, this was after I left school, but since 1985. And it's paid off, in a sense, in what you see as the tournament where everyone gets a trophy.
Mm, this is the everyone is special movement.
Special snowflake. And that's what I see. At the same time, though, there are a lot of people who that didn't work on, and who feel perhaps even worse because all around them so many more people have so much self-esteem. There is recent studies that show that self-esteem has risen greatly since the 1980s, and that college students have twice the self-esteem they had in 1982, something like that. But those of us who struggle with low self-esteem look around ourselves, see how high the standard self-esteem, the ambient self-esteem of our peers are, and makes us feel even worse.
So this is odd because, on the other hand, America is often described as a narcissistic culture. You know, and you look around and there are millions of people taking selfies and tweeting their every thought and action and posting mundane details of their lives on Facebook. We look like a culture of people who like themselves a lot.
I think because, to a large part, especially thanks to the self-esteem movement, which is now a huge self-esteem industry, we are. But it hasn't worked on everyone. And the high self-esteem that others were given and that they have and enjoy has allowed many people to be better bullies. So the higher the self-esteem of those around us, the more capable they feel of abusing us in various ways, which can lower our self-esteem.
Do you ever wonder if there's something narcissistic about self-loathing, intense self-criticism? I mean, it's negative and deeply painful, but it's still a form of excessive self-regard.
Definitely. And I have known people who were honestly suicidally filled with low self-esteem. Yes. And what I did say to them unsuccessfully was, in various ways, it's not really all about you. The impression you have that you're a terrible person that's going to bring the earth down with your terribleness, A, is a waste of your time. Just look at the flowers and have a nice time instead. And B, you're just presuming so much about other people and your importance to them. What a relief and a release to realize that we're not that important to others. Yes, low self-esteem, self-loathing is a form of self-obsession. It's a form of self-absorption. That's why it's just as, quote-unquote, bad as being a fascist dictator who commandeers genocides.
Annalee Rufus is the author of Unworthy: How to Stop Hating Yourself.